Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And, Trevor, we're about ready for another season to start upon us. It's going to be your first season covering the Blue Tigers. So I guess the big question is, with you being new and Coach Jermaine Gales being new, who's more interested to see how the Blue Tigers look on Thursday night?
I mean, I'm sure he's a little bit more antsy to see how his team looks on Friday or on Thursday. He's been dealt with a tall task of trying to turn around this program that went 0-10. He did really good, though, to start at least on the recruiting trail. He basically doubled the roster size from last year, so that's what he wanted to do when he said when he came in. We were a little bit skeptical about that, but he pulled that off, so that's a good start for him at least.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that he comes to us by way of Bluefield State, and I know that, you know, I think it doesn't sound all that amazing, but I think if I remember correctly, he had a 4-3 season last year at Bluefield State, which many people pointed to as a thing where that was a pretty tall task for them to be able to pull that off. So I think based on that, you know, that was kind of one of the things that I think was attractive to the Blue Tigers when they went out and hired him. But I think it's one of those things where I think, you know, this is going to be something. It's just going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. You know, we're going to learn about him. He's going to learn about them. You know, everybody's going to learn about each other, I think, these first couple weeks. And unfortunately, with the way this schedule sets up now, when you're playing all MIAA teams, you're jumping right into an MIAA schedule, whether you like it or not. And you just hope that, well, maybe we'll get one of the easier MIAA teams when you start out the season. It's not necessarily the case. I mean, you know, it's a 6 o'clock Thursday start at Washburn. You know, the Ichabods, you know, have been one of the, you know, top third teams for the past couple years, and it's one of those things where you just go, it's not ideal. It's not like you're starting with Northwest, which would be your week two opponent, so that's not ideal either, but at least you're not starting with somebody gangbusters right out of the boat. So you just go, well, let's just see how they shape up against Washburn. So I think we're just going to all be interested to see what happens on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about how that's going to be a really physical matchup, and he keeps preaching to his team that they're going to have to be extremely physical with Washburn, and I mean, it's going to be a tall task, that's no question. They got beat 76-12 by the team last year,
right.
So he talked to me today about how they're not going to be worrying about last year. They're just going to be getting off the bus, you know, playing some assignment sound football and just trying to get the job done on Thursday. So it's a big wait and see game. We'll definitely have to see on that.
You mentioned a little bit, but I think, you know, just the kind of starting point every season is, I think, for me as someone who covered, you know, the Blue Tigers for years and years and years, and as, you know, even when I stopped covering them as a reporter, I've kind of followed them as a general watcher. The first thing that always kind of, for me, for the football team, you look at and go, oh my gosh, it's another year with only 50 kids on the roster. Or this year they're, you know, they're starting at 60 some, and then we'll see how many end up by the end of the year. I don't think we're going to be too worried about where they end up at the end of the year just based on where we're starting at this year. So let's tell the folks a little bit about, you know, how do the overall numbers look for the Blue Tigers this time around?
So yeah, taking a roster of, I think it was 62 players last year that I saw on the website, and they're now a little bit over 110. The biggest thing he was talking to me about is just the competition of having that number of players. It pushes the people at the top of the depth chart.
Sure.
Because if you're the starter and you really don't have somebody knocking on the door for your playing time, if it is a blowout like they've managed to see a lot, like, you're generally just not going to try as hard. It doesn't mean as much to you, but if you have somebody that's itching for your playing time, that's going to push you, that's going to make you play better.
And I think, too, it's one of those things where, you know, it sounds simple to say, but you can't overstate it sometimes. The MIAA is so good for a Division II conference that you have to have depth, because just based on the ruggedness of the schedule week in and week out, you're going to blow through players. Everybody gets hurt, yes, and you always hope that, you know, you hope your key contributors stay safe and stay available to go out on the field each week, but you're going to have times where you're going to need depth. Well, I think this is a league especially where your depth gets tested, because, you know, even your easy weeks aren't so easy, and you can take your lumps against some of these teams in this conference. So, yeah, you're going to have extra bodies to play. You know, you're going to have guys where you can plug in. You know, you're going to have, well, receiver one goes down, and two goes down, and three goes down. Well, if you don't have 4, 5, and 6 all of a sudden a slot in there, things get ugly in a hurry. So just the fact that just the sheer numbers are better, I think that's got to be a positive thing for both a first-year coach and also just for the program.
Yeah, and even if there isn't injuries, like a lot of these teams play up-tempo offenses, so if you don't have depth on the defensive side, they're going to wear you down.
Right.
That front seven's just going to get exhausted and just plowed right through. So, I mean, on both sides of the ball, because I know Lincoln wants to run an up-tempo spread offense this year. So if you don't have that depth, you're just not going to succeed for 60 minutes in a football game.
You know, Greg Jackson and I have talked about it for years on this podcast, and I think that's one of those things that you try to stress to people just so they realize how hard it can be. But it needs to be restated a lot of times that at every level in football, the one position more than any other, rather than maybe starting quarterback, where everybody wants to have more of those, but people try to stockpile talent at the lines because you know you're going to get injuries on both the offensive and defensive lines, and you're going to need quality backups for those spots because when you have a big drop-off, guess what? It's real noticeable real quick. So if everybody in Division I is grabbing all the best linemen that they can and stockpiling them, and everybody at D2 keeps grabbing them, well, guess what? When you're kind of one of those programs that's kind of trying to establish yourself, like Lincoln has been for years, you're always kind of just taking whatever you can find at the end or somebody who falls through the crack, or maybe you have to develop guys. So lines are the toughest thing for the Blue Tigers to come up with every year. So when you look at it and go, hey, maybe things look a little bit better than maybe they have in the recent past, that's probably a good thing heading into this. So, you know, from what I understand, things look maybe a little bit better on both the offensive and defensive lines.
So, offensive line, I know they brought in Tommy Medlin to play center. He's a transfer from American River College. That doesn't sound like the most ideal thing, but Jermaine Gales has talked to me a lot about how this guy's going to be the quarterback of that front line.
Okay.
He's going to be the leader. He seems to be a very physical player. They do have 4 of the 5 starters lined out. They're not 100% sure who's going to be starting at right guard yet, but they do think that they have 6 or 7 linemen that can plug and play, is what he told me. So if they do run into some injuries or if they do just see some lack of performance from some guys, they're going to be able to fill in with other people. So I don't think it's going to be a 100% strong suit of this team.
Sure.
But I don't think it might be as big of a red flag as it has been in the past.
Okay. And you did mention it too in passing, but it sounds like they want to go up tempo a little bit more than they have in the past. And again, that's another place where it's easier to go up tempo when you've got skill players who can run all day long. But sometimes the big guys up front need a break every once in a while, and if you're going to try to go tempo, you got to have the guys that can go tempo. So one place where you can figure that out is if maybe they can't go tempo for super duper long, if you've got guys who can spell them, then they can get a little blow, come back in, they're fresh, and they can go again. So that again, having depth at that position is probably going to help if that's what you want to start trying to do this year.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, they want to stay ahead of the chains. That's the biggest thing they've been telling me. They don't think they're going to be like a big play team, I guess is what I'm going for. They just want to have methodical, I can't say long drives because they do want to go fast, but a lot of plays, just getting a few yards at a time and use those playmakers out wide because they do think they're going to have a lot of speed this year.
Yeah. And then, again, on the other side of the line, you know, defensive line is always one of those places where, you know, it's become not as super duper important in this day of spread offenses and a lot of more quick strike things, but you do still see a lot of, you know, MIAA programs who want to line up and they want to establish the run first and then they want to play off that and then get the pass going. So I think, you know, it's still a kind of a little more traditional or a little bit more important for you to be able to be a run-stopping defense in the MIAA than some leagues or some levels of competition. So that, I'm sure, was something that they probably wanted to address a little bit, too, just to be a little bit stronger up front on the D-line.
Yeah, so they did bring in one transfer for the D-line, Isaac Robinson, but the other 2 starters on the D-line are going to be returners in Cody Bagby and Jakari Larmond. It does not sound like running defense is going to be a strong suit either. It's more of a we hope we can do it.
Okay.
They've been doing it in practice, but that's one thing where it might be your offensive line isn't very good instead of your defensive line is really good. So there's probably some happy medium somewhere in there. But they feel like they have the athletes on that side of the ball. It's just we hope that this is going to be the thing.
Sure. You know, I talked about it a little bit about it with Kyle in our Mizzou podcast, but I feel like The transfer portal has just kind of made things completely different. I mean, I think the world of football is just very, very much more wide open. It's easier to get better in a hurry if you can get the people you need. It just changes everybody's kind of outlook on their team. But I do think that it's one of those things, too, where we've always kind of gone into the offseason hoping you can pick up a key transfer here or a key transfer there. And it does become a little bit more, you know, a little bit easier now with the transfer portal. But I feel like, you know, you always go into the transfer season going, can we find a quarterback? Can we find a quarterback? Well, the Blue Tigers have a transfer quarterback. So how do we feel like, who is he? And how do we think that that maybe will play out for them this season?
So it seems like Coach Gales dipped into his coaching past at Arkansas Pine Bluff, where he was the offensive coordinator. He brought in Xavier Vaughn. He's a 6'6 athletic quarterback. Okay. They're going to utilize his speed a lot, from what I've been told.
Okay.
You're going to expect to see a lot of read options and just a lot of design quarterback keepers. He has a pretty good arm. He seems pretty accurate downfield, but I think his biggest weapon is going to be his legs.
Yeah. It's early. We you know, and again, it's going to be trial by fire early on. We know that. We know the fact that you're in the MIAA. It's not like you can ever ease your way into the season. But I do feel like this is kind of a, you know, a really blank slate for the Blue Tigers. You haven't seen them much, you know, other than maybe, you know, a spring game, you know, a live scrimmage here, you know, some walkthroughs here and there. I think we're all interested to see how this week goes. I think, again, we're all hoping that things go well for Coach Gales. We hope that the Blue Tigers have kind of been able, you know, maybe get to see some immediate dividends. But I also feel like that's probably asking a little bit much at this point. So what do we think, like, maybe we're expecting to see, or what would be, a, you know, something positive that we want to see maybe from this week one game?
So there's a lot of belief around this team right now, honestly, with the players, the coaching staff. They believe, and it's easy to do that when you're 0-0.
Sure, sure.
It's going to be a test in week 5, week 6, if that belief's still there. But I just want to see some competitive football, like third or fourth quarter in these games. Lincoln's still fighting. They might not necessarily have to come out on top in these games.
Sure.
But if you're in there in that fourth quarter of games, these players aren't going to lose that belief. And you eventually will come out on the right side of one of those. So, I mean, just stay physical with these teams and just stay in the games, and you know you're going to find yourself winning a couple of them, and that's going to change a culture real quick.
Well, sure, and I think, you know, obviously anytime you bring in you know a new coach and you're kind of curious to see how things are going, there's automatically going to be a little bit more interest. And I think, you know, the Blue Tiger Athletic Department has done a pretty good job in the offseason trying to have a few more kind of fan based things going on, that they're trying to drum up some interest in the program. You know, I hate to be a pessimist, you wish, you know, your first home game was not week 2 against Northwest Missouri State, because that's never ideal. But I do think that that's going to be a game where I do think you're going to see a pretty larger than usual crowd probably for that first Saturday game, you know, and, you know, yeah, 9 days after this opener on Thursday. So I think that's one of those where I'm with you. I think I hear some good things. I hear some, you know, the players are excited. I think the fans are more excited than usual. So I think it's going to be one of those things it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, just in terms of, I think a lot of people are kind of interested to see, you know, who is Coach Gales and what are his Blue Tigers going to look like.
Yeah, starting out the first two games against two out of the top three from the conference last year is less than ideal, that's
right,
for sure.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't expect them to come away with a win in either of those first two games.
Sure.
But if you come, I know moral victories aren't really a thing. If you come away and you're in one of those games in the fourth quarter, especially that home opener against a perennial like Northwest,
right,
like that has to be a massive win for a new head coach in Jermaine.
Well, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we have to deal again a little bit more with Washburn. Again, it's a tough opener, but I think we're going to get to the prediction point. And I'm going to ask you just, you know, straight up, how do you see this one playing out on Thursday night?
So, I mean, they do return all 5 of their offensive linemen. That's a good place to start with them. They do have to replace their quarterback that put up 2,600 yards and 25 touchdowns through the air last year. But, I mean, they return a playmaker in James Ledger Jr., who had 10 touchdowns and almost 1,000 yards. Their defense returns basically a lot of the talent that produced last year. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. There's no way around that. They're going to be physical from everything I've heard. So Lincoln's going to have to stop the run.
Yeah.
Especially with a new quarterback. I think they stay in it for a little bit longer than people are probably expecting, but I would say Washburn probably walks away with 45-28 victory.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.